You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7th, not the entire crew. We have a special guest today, filling in for the homie DJ J Diff. We see you, boy.
Caught yourself.
Yeah, I did. My man Longevity's in the building. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. Thanks for asking, man.
Is that it?
I can't think of any other adjectives right now.
That's okay.
Just doing all right, yeah.
Great, okay. I'm happy for you, man. My man Jay Moore is in the building again, you know, exclusive. Well, I ain't gonna count his pockets. How you doing, man? You all right?
Doing all right, as always. Blessed and highly vaccinated.
Okay,
right.
Good to see you as always. We got a special guest in the building today, one of the homies. He really family, low key.
Bam.
I'm trying to see how can I set this up. He's just been a part of Indianapolis hip hop culture for so long. Beat Battle Leagues. One of the founders of the Trees Festival, which actually has grown pre-COVID. It was really going in the right direction before we got hit with COVID. I don't want to call him OG, but he really is.
I mean, he used to make beats back in the day.
See, the beat part I didn't know about. Yeah. I didn't know about the beats.
Shout out to Knox Haven. You know what I'm saying? goes back.
He is definitely put down for the city of Indianapolis and the hip-hop culture and, you know, provide a lot of great opportunities for talent in the city to be showcased.
Yep.
So we really salute you for that. My man Jay Brickens is in the building. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
You guys are like my fam. Like, this is a dream come true for somebody that watches your YouTube clips. Like, I'm in the building.
Yeah. Word. Did you like that nougat that we was talking about, man? Did you see that one?
I didn't. The last one I saw was one where Jay Moore was going off on Kanye.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
So I came in here with a vengeance because, you know, I'm a Kanye stan, so.
You filling in for Jay Diff. That's usually Jay Diff's role.
So it's 3-on-1 now.
No. I've changed from what I used to be, but okay. I'm still.
Hey, you're from Chicago, too. Come on.
Yeah, you know, that's my second home. So I'm not as bad as I used to
be.
I'm in between right now. But we appreciate you sitting down with his brother. Shout out to everybody that's in the chat. It's already popping as usual. We appreciate y'all for that. So let's go ahead and jump into the rundown. We had a conversation pre-show with Brother Brookings about NFTs. This is before you came in late on this one, Jay Moore.
I mean, you gotta tell him all that.
He wasn't that late now. Yeah. A little
Quest
late.
Love right late.
School.
Don't do that. But we were talking about the possibility of NFTs and its effect on hip hop moving forward. I think Lone even mentioned the importance of possibly getting onto it now. I'm not saying everybody's doing it. I guess the industry is starting to lean that direction, but you know, we were kind of talking about the importance of knowing what this is and how to apply it to your career, like as an artist, right? I'm still a little asleep. I still have to do more research. Jay Brookins, I'll come to you first, man. What do you think about the NFT, like NFTs as a possibility? Like, is it unlimited possibilities as it relates to hip hop?
Man, I really think it is an unlimited possibility because it's so new. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's not so new, like people aren't already jumping on it. It's already here. You know what I mean? Like, people need to do their due diligence and look into these NFTs, for especially when it comes to your music, because you can cut out all the middleman. You know what I'm saying? You can be your own record label. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If I'm selling you an NFT and I have a contract with that NFT, that if you sell that NFT, then I get money from this NFT. Like, this is a musician's dream.
Right.
Like, don't sleep. Don't wait till it's too, you know, it's too saturated to get into this. Like, yeah. It is here now. It's here to stay. Like, I don't think it's one of those things that fly by night. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I feel like with all the cryptocurrency and, you know, the NFTs things popping off, I really think it's time to, this is like MySpace to Facebook type shift. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No,
when that
sure.
shift happened, we're like, I don't know if I want to go over to this other platform. Like, right. I want to stay on my place. I'm, you know, I'm comfortable here.
All my friends are here.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're at that level when it comes to you know, platforms. Like, that's going to be the next thing that you should have been on 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, in 2024.
I could dig it. Jay Moore, jump in, man. What are Please your thoughts do. About the possibilities?
Well, you know, I think there is something about being in early and not dismissing things just because it sounds crazy or you don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where a lot of people miss the boat on Bitcoin, you know. Yeah. Just that, you know, at one point, if you'd have got into, you could get a Bitcoin in 2013 for like $6.50.
That's tough.
Okay. And Bitcoin, like, you know, because I've got a couple dollars in it.
Oh, you balling?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, okay. You know, but okay. I'm looking, but to buy one Bitcoin right now, last I checked, you'd need at least $61,000.
Yeah.
You know, you hear stories about people who are like, well, I didn't know what this Bitcoin was for, so I bought a pizza with it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, what you spent on that pizza would be worth like $150,000 today. Talk had you to just him. Held on to it.
Hope it was
you
a know. Good pizza.
I better be great. Hopefully you didn't get Domino's.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Let me stop because shout out to people who enjoy Domino's. Domino's, if you'd like to sponsor the show.
Hey, come on home.
No, but, you know, you just have to think about a lot of, you know, even when you talk about, you know, just, you know, because people who don't, you know, they're not into blockchain technology or doing any of that. When you talk about, you know, stocks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm. You know, someone when someone says, oh, well, you know, if you could tell your 18-year-old self something, what would you tell them to do? I say, well, take that money that you that graduation money that you bought CDs with.
Yeah.
And buy shares of Apple where you could have got a share of Apple for, you know, $1.60.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to just buying some CDs that now you don't even use because everything is streaming and you're streaming it through Apple Music. You know,
I see what you did there.
You know, there's a lot of, we can't be afraid of new technology. I know a lot of it is intimidating, specifically because there are people who are out there scamming because, you know, I'm not sure if you guys saw the story about the Squid Coin. Like they made a cryptocurrency based on
what?
Called Squid Game.
Still haven't seen Squid Game.
I liked it.
You know.
First and foremost, go see Squid Game because it's fire.
But, oh, yeah? Okay.
But tell
okay.
me about that.
No, but then, right? Like, the guys who created the coin basically, you know, ran up the value, took the money, and now it's at zero. And everyone who put anything into Squid Coin is just left holding, well, not holding anything because there's no money. It wasn't based in anything. It was just a scam. And so I understand when you see
Those
things like that
vibes.
and it, you know, and it makes people apprehensive about new technology, about new ways of viewing money, you know, because, you know, we come from, you know, a lot of people in our families, you know, who are still putting money in their mattresses, you know, it's like, you know, don't, you know, I know people that don't put money in the bank.
You know,
and I'm just now in the last year or so, you know, really looking at the market and seeing where like, okay, my little baby portfolio, like even not knowing what I'm doing is giving me a much better return than if I just put the money into a savings account.
True.
You know, so we have to have these kind of conversations and make sure that, you know, if we do find someone who is a bit more learned and can explain these things to us, that we're not afraid to take in that information and apply it to our real lives.
Yeah.
Shout out, and then there are some guys that I watched today on the Breakfast Club. It's called Earn Your Leisure, and they broke down a lot of things. And so, like, you know, I know a lot of times you go on to the Breakfast Club because you want to see the hot celebrity gossip. But when you see somebody who's talking about cryptocurrency and what you can.
This is like the second or third person that they've had on there.
Yeah. And they're consistently giving out this information. But when it's because I look at numbers, because I look at our numbers and I see what things move. You know, people aren't watching those interviews.
Yeah.
You know, they're watching when Soulja Boy comes on because they can't wait to see him say something really wild. But when these guys are talking about earning your leisure, literally being able to put money into the market and being able to retire and create wealth for not only yourself but your family, that's not getting the views. So we can't be apprehensive. We can't just go for the, we got to go for the steak sometimes, not just the sizzle.
Jump right in there, Long.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be the least viewed segment of the show.
100%.
But no, I
which
think,
actually says a lot.
It does.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of what it is, you know, but yeah, the NFT thing is interesting. I've been slowly watching it. You know, it's one of those things where I try to pay attention to everything that comes out as much as possible. You know, it gets harder. I know it's weird to say, but it gets harder as I get older because everything's just like, feels like it's constant.
Yeah.
But NFTs took me a minute. Like, to kind of grasp and to like, what is a fungible token? Token. Like,
yeah, I didn't even know what those words meant like, when you put them together.
Yeah, it's like, I got to define the words before I even know what, you know, anything else is. But
yeah,
I feel like with a lot of people that are sharing a lot of information on it right now, now is a really good time. Like Jay was mentioning, Jay Brookins was mentioning for the artists, like, you got to be on this right now. Like pay attention to it. Like, figuring out clever ways to, you know, put your stuff out there and give it. It's cool because it gives ownership of yourself to other people, and that gives them like invested interest in you, which is what we as artists want anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like
residual income,
but it gives you like, it gives the people that are investing in you, like, not only like an invested interest, but like a literal, like, monetary invested interest. So it's definitely something to look into. I'm not going to go off on a crazy tangents because I don't really know a crazy ton about it outside of the fact that I know that I need to put more time into it.
It's a conversation that I would like to have. I was actually asking Brookings about, you know, certain aspects of it, you know, before we came on, just because I'm starting to see it pop up in interviews on major platforms, as well as seeing artists talk about it also, you know, so it's starting to pop up everywhere. Like, you know,
and this is like, I know we're talking about artists, like musicians, but this goes across all creative platforms. Like,
definitely.
If you are a creative, if you're a creator,
design,
like, get into it.
I'm fascinated by the concept of, consumers or fans investing in back into the artists that they like. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to cut out a lot of people, if you will. And the experience, I think the experience could be dope, but like I said, I want to do more research because it's something I want to look into. And I think there are, you know, why not? Especially if this is the way things are going to be trending. Clearly, this is the way things are going to be trending. So,
like, I saw there are NFTs of sports highlights.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like,
we could have NFTs of the show.
You know, but just, you know, I have a crazy,
I don't know how to do it.
I have a crazy idea. Well, you know, I'm going to share it. Why not? Because it's not like, it's just something that, you know.
I don't know, man.
Be careful.
No, it's not.
Your last clip got like 10,000 views.
Be careful, man.
No, you know.
Be careful.
I'm okay. You know, I'll tell y'all after the show.
Yeah, tell us after the show.
Maybe there'll be something that we work on. But, you know, I'm just saying, between NFTs, actually getting into the traditional stock market, coin, all the you know, the different coins, you know. And the thing is, like, I was like, well, where am I going to buy some Bitcoin? And then somebody put me up on Game and was like, well, do you have Cash App
you can
use that to buy crypto? And then I was like, I started, you know, just going through, and I was like, well, wait a minute, I can buy stocks with this too. Because, you know, a lot of times we're intimidated by the whole idea of buying stock or getting into some sort of financial literacy, because it seems like it's because it's like we think we got to go see some man sitting behind a desk who's got a ticker tape on his desk, like it's the 1920s or something. It was like, you know,
those days are over.
The world at our fingertips right now. So instead of just always looking on Instagram and Twitter just to catch up on foolishness, like, we have the access to actually create a certain level of wealth for ourselves and to research things that could actually impact our lives in a positive way.
Thanks.
Let me jump in real quick.
Yes,
I know you're probably about to change.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I mean, I hear it all the time. How do you get rich? Get rich by real estate, investing, and insurance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The time is now. And I told these guys a story about the cryptocurrency thing.
Yeah.
16th in college, I walk into the shell, the hood shell, not like the shell out there.
Right.
You know, oh, yeah.
And they don't sell nougat at this shell. Yeah.
There's a yellow and black machine there. I thought it was ATM machine. Turns out it was a Bitcoin machine.
Yeah.
You can buy Bitcoin, Litecoin, maybe Ethereum from the machine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm late. Like,
that's actually brilliant.
If there is a machine for it and it's in the location that you're, look, I saw
16th in college.
It says outside EBT and Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's tough. So, talk about a reality check.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, who's using? I talked to the cashier. You know, I'm trying to be friends with her because I'm about to ask her for some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
who's using that? It's like, man, not really a lot of people. The Africans is using it.
Mm.
They stand at that machine for hours. I was like, what? Nope. I was like, that's crazy. They on it.
Be careful, Jay Moore. I see you grinning.
No, because you know what? All I know is at the club I work at.
Yeah.
It's always the Africans who are buying bottles, and they seem like they're celebrating something. So they know something we don't.
You know what? I think that's a good place for us to end this conversation.
Shout out to the Africans.
Shout out to my African brothers and sisters. We appreciate you.
They first to the party.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm not mad at it. Shout out to my boy Francois. He was a former coworker of mine out in D.C., man. He's from Ghana. Good brother. He was always putting me on game as well. So maybe that's a trend, but... All right, let's go ahead and get into our shout out to the chat too. Y'all are live as always tonight. I see all these comments coming up. I can't even keep up with them. So we appreciate the chat as always.
Bong bong.
Let's get into this first topic. Saw an article. I was just Googling something, and I think the site is it says Japan Today. Mm-hmm. And somebody wrote an article.
Japan Today.
So I'm gonna make sure I give credit where credit's due.
All right.
Okay.
All right. And the headline says hip hop's love and hate relationship with education.
Okay.
So they had a spin on it, but I thought about some of the stuff that they listed, and I want to see what you guys think, because they made a good point when they talk about all of hip hop's billionaires. So Jay-Z, I think you could say he's regarded as the first hip hop billionaire, either him or Dre, right? He didn't graduate from high school, mm-hmm. right? Kanye, college dropout, no pun intended. Dr. Dre left college after 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diddy dropped out of Howard.
Okay.
And despite all of that, these are the same people that have invested into charter schools, helping HBCUs, scholarship funds. You know what I'm saying? Like Dr. Dre and
Jimmy Iovine
put bread in the USC for the academy that they built. I know Puffy built a school in New York, you know, and Jay is always, he's got a school, like Ninth Wonder is teaching for him at an academy that they created.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a weird dynamic that all these people that were, dropped out of higher education or even high school want to give so much back.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Brickens, I'll come to you first. Like what?
That's cool. Yeah, I'm ready. But.
Yeah. What do you think about that relationship? Like the dichotomy between hip hop and
education.
Look, we hip hop. We gonna get it by any means necessary.
Okay.
And what do you mean by education?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's a running joke now. Yo, I got a PhD in such and such. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get a job for $15 an hour.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like we all know this now. This is common knowledge.
True.
Like you're going to get your most education outside of the traditional college experience. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like... All right,
Jay Brickens hate education.
No, because I dropped out. Like I went to a college for a year, bro, and I dropped out because I don't. It wasn't for.
It's not for everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Like I had to get my education on the streets. No,
school of hard knocks, baby. School, you know how we do.
Hey, Long, blurt it out, man. Yeah. We don't want to put Jay Brickens' business out there like that. Blurt it out.
I use that term very loosely.
I feel you.
But
I
just had to kind of learn my own way, and I got an education of sorts. You know what I'm saying? I'm still getting an education. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I went from working at a head shop to working for a corporation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't put my college, you know, years on my resume. You feel me? I told him, I was like, yo, I did this for these people right here, blah, blah, blah. And I did that with no money.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, we want you. You know what I'm saying? So we love education. You know, you just gotta find it. You know what I mean? Like it's not, the traditional education system is not everything. So, but
true.
Going back to them, like, you know, building schools and things like that, it can be something for you. Like, mm-hmm. I got, in that year of college, I met friends of mine, you know.
That's
what I'm saying?
What I was going to hit
you
on.
You know, I made connections with people that I still connect with to this day. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
100%.
There is,
you can create, like, worth ethics and stuff around it and stuff, you know.
More ways to skin a cat. You know
exactly.
Yeah,
but you can do the same thing elsewhere, too.
I mean, I always tell people, like, I'm you know, I'm pro education because to me, I'm pro education because you got to learn as much as you can, right? You can't, by any means, learn as much as possible, right? Like, whatever you can learn, learn it. Dick Gregory told me that, for God rest his soul. He was like, the power is
Kanye
in
now dropping names.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't do that. he did tell me this though, so I am Kanye.
Dick Gregory's black, so Kanye wouldn't have dropped his
Thank
name.
You. but anyway,
JD, here they go.
Yeah, I ain't going to go down that road. But he told me, he was like, it's not about money, it's about information. What do you know? What do you learn? Like, is your mind, are you constantly learning? Like, he told me that. So as it relates to what you said, though, I could agree, because a lot of the people outside of people that I grew up with that are my close friends, like I grew up with Lone, I've known Lone since he's in elementary school, middle school, right? He's a close friend of mine. But I also met a lot of close friends in college, and I learned a lot about myself in college. You know, I grew up and, you know, hit the wall in certain things. So it was a good experience overall. You know what I'm saying? So I think there is value there, but from an educational standpoint, classes and all that, it's like, I almost would weigh the experience over the
actual
curriculum, or if you want to call it.
It also depends on like the structure around it too. Like, depend on how you need to learn. Like, some people really love this. Like me personally, like I went to school for 2 years at Purdue at like a site school.
Yep.
Like, you know, wasn't at the main university, but then my third year, out to some homies, we moved to Indy. For the first time I moved here in like 2003, went to IUPUI, and there was no structure.
Yeah.
And that was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm not doing this. So I went back and finished doing what I was doing before, because I couldn't function in that type of
environment. Didn't fit your learning style.
I couldn't do it.
Right, so, right. Yeah.
So, you know, different strokes for different people, but I, you know, at the same time, I do have two college degrees, but do I utilize
Flex
those?
On them.
Man, Flex on them. Like, hey.
But do I utilize them in my day to day? Yeah, kind of, but not really. You know, a lot of the stuff is what I taught myself, you know, and there's definitely some stuff that I learned along the way.
Goes
as a
back
part
to his
of
point.
A part of it.
And is it just hip hop? I mean, like, how many of these billionaires, you know, like, I don't know.
Dropped out of college. Now, mind you, he dropped out of Harvard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
know,
there's a difference between dropping out of Harvard and dropping out of 10th grade remedial math.
Why it got to be remedial, though?
Well,
then never mind. Don't do that. Never mind.
No,
leave
but,
that alone.
But the thing is, when they say, okay, these people dropped out of college and they were able to create, you know, educational opportunities for others, you got to understand that, yes, okay, Jay-Z dropped out of high school, but, you know, it's good that he's investing in educational opportunities for others, because everybody's not going to be Jay-Z.
Absolutely.
You're right. You're
and
right.
You have to be clear about that.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that, you know, there are people who think they can rap and they're going to take it to the top, but you got to understand that even if you have that genius level talent at rapping, that doesn't mean you're going to be successful. You know,
talk
if
to
you
him, Jay Moore.
Invest that same effort into, you know, say you also have that same mindset to where you could be an engineer, or you could be a lawyer or a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, and someone like Jay-Z or Dr. Dre, and they've set up scholarship funds to where you don't have to go into six figures worth of debt, you know, to help out the people who want to do that instead of trying to get their rapping on.
Puffy's you know, is about that. It's relief for people that have debt as it relates to college. Like, that's, you know, where they pull from.
So I want, you know, I think, you know, the thing is, like, every, you got to understand, even the most hood rapper sends his kids to private school.
Tell them about that Jeezy line.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So I'm just saying, like, think about it. They'll be telling you to keep it hood.
Yeah.
While they send their kids to private schools.
Talk to them.
So I don't care what they tell you on them records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, every rapper has a certain, if they have children, they have a certain level of appreciation for Absolutely. Education, because they don't want their kids to have, they don't even want their kids to have the option to rap about the things.
So what
they
you,
rap
so
about.
What you're telling me is Junior is not going to the public school in not Bankhead, but,
wherever.
Savannah.
He's not going.
Savannah.
He's not, yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Let's go ahead and put that line out there just in case you guys don't
Talk
know about
him,
the
man.
Jeezy line.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the line was, and I can't remember who said it. I know Keezy Arizona from Nap kind of did a song that said it, but the line is, Jeezy told me trap or die, but told his son to go to college.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Well, but to Jay's point, Jay Moore's point, it's weird having to say. I mean, even though there's a Jay Diff, I always call him Terry on the
just
show.
Just too many
Jays. But education is still, it's one of those things, like, get it how you get it. But education is one of those things, if you can have it, it's going to give you a you're going to have a little bit more of an advantage in a lot of aspects because you're going to have specific guidance in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, not all the time.
I was about to say,
there's always exceptions to the rule.
I'm with you, though.
Look, if like, you want to be a doctor, lawyer, teacher,
engineer,
you
might want to go to school.
Then these are things that you should, you know, but honestly, you know, I learned how to be a salesman by working in sales.
Right.
You know, I learned how to look at market trends by actually looking at market trends and seeing, okay, well, we need to keep carrying this type of liquor.
Self-education.
You know, not so, but just being observant and shutting my mouth and watching people who are already doing do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that's an education that people discount because it doesn't come with a certification and a piece of paper.
I can apply that to so many. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's so funny that you say that, but I literally had a course in college that was about how different people learn.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like most people are hands-on.
Yeah.
But then there are visual learners and there are auditory learners. And it like went through all the different details. It's just funny that we're talking about formalized education and that was literally a class that I took.
Look at you using your degree.
That was the only class from IAPY that...
But think about our last conversation. You know, we didn't have classes that taught us about stocks. There weren't classes that teach us about, you know, how taxes are generated. There were not even about how to secure a mortgage.
Hey, true, but money management wasn't elective. These are things that, in high school.
These are things that people have to find out on the fly.
I didn't elect it, and
they wind up making mistakes because they taught us about nothing. Not that I'm knocking people who want to learn the history of Western civilization and English literature.
I know where you're going,
but you know, like. If we're really going to prepare our children, and these are things we'll just probably have to start to teach them in the home. It's like, okay, this is why they take your taxes out. This is when they take your taxes out.
Yes.
And you know what? If you don't want them to take this many taxes out, this is what you need to do.
It's that simple.
If you want to be able to buy your first home by this time, you need to know A, B, C, and D, because those are the things we are not being taught.
You know, he makes a good point, about how you apply things to everyday life versus sometimes the things that we're told, because my father wasn't the most educated person, God rest his soul, but I learned jewels from him, day-to-day jewels, work ethic. You know what I'm saying? How to provide for a family. Like he talked about the mortgage, like planning ahead, all those things I learned just from soaking it up from my pops.
Yeah,
there was no class for that. You know what I'm saying? So there's ways that you can, you know, absorb and get them jewels. But I'm also with you on the part about, you know, the education as it relates to what field you might get into.
Look, your education,
it definitely depends.
Your education is sometimes much different than your certification.
Good point.
That's true. Like I said,
I'm not mad at that.
I went to school. I don't use my degree at all, like in the way that it was meant for me to use.
Oh, don't get me started.
I took nuggets here and there, but I don't use it.
Yeah.
So
I'm with it, man. I'm with it. Brookins, you got anything to say before we wrap this one up?
No, that's, I think we touched on everything. Yeah. Excuse me.
Shout out to the chat too. I see y'all in there. Man, I can't even read these. There's so many.
Harvey Dent,
I see you. That's my brother. One of Baltimore's finest DJs. Shout out to the homie.
Shout out to Brother to the Night who subscribed.
Yes, sir. That's my guy. Make sure y'all check out the Drunken Nights podcast. That's the homie.
And you know what? Wherever you guys are in the country, drop us a, you know,
yeah, put your cities in there.
Yeah, drop us an area code or a zip code. Let us know
where y'all checking in from so we can make sure we shout that out. All right, Lone, is it fair to say we can go ahead and go to our partners real quick before
the partners first?
Yeah, can we do that?
All right, sure.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. Sun King Brewery is what we're drinking on every episode. Check out their many local locations, and they might just be selling in your city if you're not in Indianapolis. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Yep.
All right. We are back. Shout out to our partners. We appreciate them as always. Jay Moore, they already listening, man. They put in some, I see one location already, New Albany, Indiana. We see you. Thank you for that. All right. Let's, oh man, Jay Brookins is here. at the right time for this conversation here. Jay Diff, he's gonna hold you down, brother. He's gonna hold you down. So it was a Kanye part two on the Drink Champ. I didn't get through all of it. This one kind of went off the rail more than the first one, in my personal opinion. So I didn't. This one wasn't for me. I watched a little bit, but it wasn't nothing that I really missed.
The Larry Hoover joint was a little bit.
And I fooled with Larry Hoover Jr. I fooled with him, but I know what he's trying to do, and I think everything he said is right.
Yeah. But his father should be able to come home.
100%. But let's see.
But that doesn't mean that everything that Kanye does is right.
No, it does. Shout out Larry Hoover Jr., but no.
That's everybody, though, right?
But people be like, oh, you guys are just focusing on this. I was like, no, we talked about it all. But
y'all didn't hear that we talked about
like,
it all.
But for every like one good thing Kanye does, he does like 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 suspect things.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a changed man. I focus on the 1 out of 5. We had this conversation.
You're trying to be a better person.
I am. Like, I focus on the 1 out of 5. And I'm done arguing with y'all about the other 4 because y'all are relentless. So I'm just going to leave the other 4 alone and focus on the 1.
But over here trying to act like he's not one of us.
I'm one of y'all for real. But I'm just trying to do better. All right. Excuse me.
I just want him to do good. That's all.
I mean, I feel you, man. But here's my thing. Kanye admits that he posed as a backpacker for all these years. And he's really a quote unquote street guy. Now, we know people, you know, that grew up in Chicago that were around this young man. Shout out to my man. I'm going to say their names because they are worth saying their names. My man Papi Amon, my brother Ill Brown. So these are the homies. We know them very well and they're credible. They've told these stories many times. Yep.
And they're from
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, so they were there.
In the music scene.
Yes, I wish they was in the chat so they could get
Poppy's
y'all
laughing. He's in here.
And he said, hashtag Nougat, my guy. Poppy, if you could, put it in the chat. Tell them the stories, man, because they're going to say I'm hating if I say it. But I say that to say, so Kanye, how do we feel about that? Should we care? I'm going to tell you my stance, and then we can work around the table. I'm looking at it from a standpoint where I got classic material and heat leading up to my Dark Twisted Fantasy. After that is where I usually cut my, you know, my Kanye quote unquote support and just all. I cut it off at that album. Anything after that is trending down for me. I've been on record saying this. I stand on it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I'm mad about him posing. Like, it helped the culture by him making dope music. That's the way I see it. Now, there's a lot of people that are really mad and frustrated. So I'm going to go around the room. Y'all tell me how it felt. Jay Brookins, what'd you think about him posting? I got to come to you first.
You always go to the...
I have to come to you first.
You're a special guest.
I almost want to see you go first and then me come back. Let me do a quick little nugget.
A quick little nougat? I see what you did. Jay Brookins, hold up. That's actually a good point. Brother Moore.
Okay.
How do you feel about Kanye posing as a backpacker, quote unquote? Now, you know he bipolar, so tomorrow might be he ain't mean that.
That's that old school Gemini.
Yeah, we just going to take it for what it is at face value because he said it. Don't do that, Lone.
Lone's not buying that.
You ain't going?
He's not going.
All right.
Jay Moore, talk to me, man. Like, how do we feel about that? Because we got some great music out the brother. I ain't going to front now. No,
we definitely did. You know, I appreciated the fact that he gave like Dilated Peoples and Slum Village a look to where they were able to get on the radio. I appreciate that.
Facts.
But, you know, I hate the fact that, like, he's basically saying he was fronting that whole time. He couldn't. It's not what he was about. He was just doing that because he thought it would be a good look. You know, so in a way, that's what culture vultures do. Do you know what I'm saying? I I think it's whatever it is he's got going on with To Live Quality, they need to work that out behind closed doors. Because first of all, I remember, I'm not sure if you guys saw the Electric Circus tour.
I didn't see it.
That was Common. It was To Live Quality. And there was this other guy who got to touch the stage who didn't have any records out yet. His name was Kanye West.
Wasn't he like rocking on stage with a backpack too?
Yeah, he was on stage with a backpack. Ooh. He only had one verse at the time. He had his verse off of The Bounce, off of Jay-Z's Blueprint 2. And he wasn't even credited. Like, well, he was credited, but like they spelled his name backwards. You got to check the credits.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And To Live Quality would let him come out and touch the stage when honestly, we if if you knew producers, you knew him. Because I remember being at the pageant in St. Louis, me and my man Brian, and we saw this dude in his, on his flip flop walking around with his Rockefeller chain, hoping people would notice him.
Oh,
you know, and he's, this is not, I'm not telling tales out of school. This is what it was. He was, we knew Kanye West because my man Brian was a producer. Shout out to my man Brian Shaw. But he was like, oh, that's Kanye. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. But nobody was rushing him. He wasn't famous like that, you know. So here it is. You're somebody with no fame as an artist. And Talib Kweli did you a solid and let you come out and touch the stage and be on stage with him when he was doing Get By, which was produced by Kanye West.
As a backpacker, though.
You know, shout out to him. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I remember the cover of XXL with Dave Chappelle, and it's like Kanye West and Dead Prez and Talib Kweli.
Yeah.
And you just mean that whole time you were fronting, you didn't feel that whole vibe?
Yeah.
You know, I think that either you're being disingenuous now because you have an issue with Talib Kweli.
Exactly.
Political.
Or you were just a complete fraud back then. I'd like to think that now I'd like to think it's the first and not the latter.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you did these records, you know, with Mos Def and Talib Kweli, and you were down, you had the backpack on, and you got to understand, mainstream radio didn't embrace you initially. I remember my man James Biko, he was DJ Needles at the time on St. Louis. He had a show where he would do quote unquote backpack rap. I don't even like that term because, you know, Questlove broke it down and said that's always an outsider's term for even someone to say that, you know. And I remember when you had Through the Wire. Through the Wire wasn't a record that radio embraced, but great, you know, song. What the quote unquote backpackers that you never felt them. You were just fronting that whole time. We're the people who made sure that you would get your looks because we embraced you first when the quote unquote, you know, the dope dealers and the killers that you said that you really were down with, like those people were not checking for you.
Hey, he gonna mess around and sway my thought, man. That's a good argument.
I'm just saying there's a lot of people they'll take up for Kanye and laugh at it, but I was outside. All right.
Man,
I can tell you exactly what was going on.
Jay Brooke is let me hear yours because that's a good one there, man. That's pretty good.
I'm gonna put it all the way out there.
Okay.
Big fan of this guy.
Yeah.
The things he's done have shifted the culture every single time.
Exactly.
I'm a big fan of that. Big fan.
I'm not taking that away from him.
I listened to his new joint, the joint with Andre 3000, 50 times a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big fan. Every project. When he said that hurt me.
Okay.
But then, I mean, you got to realize, like, it's soundbite material. One, he's hurt. Two, he took too many sips of the Hennessy.
He took
a hit of the blunt. He had a lot. Like, he's hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't think he really knows how to express his hurt. You know, like all the Kweli stuff. Like, bro, you know you love Kweli.
Yeah.
Y'all got family.
Got joints together.
And another, so that's another reason why I'm hurt. One, because you don't put your family business out there like that. You will never catch me out here on the internet talking about somebody you thought I was family with.
Y'all changing my opinion, man. This is great. I didn't even look at it like this.
And so, you know, Kanye is Kanye. He's always, like you said, one time, you know, out of five, whatever, he's going to say something tight.
Yeah.
But then the other four, he's going to say something crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just that kind of person that's almost like a stream of conscious type person that's always saying stuff. I pick up a lot of gems from the Nori interview, the Drink Chaps interview, but all the people talk about is like the
slander.
The slander. You know, things like that. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a 4-hour long interview.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we only talking about Kweli. We only talking about the backpack. Mm-hmm. We only talking about, you know, Big Sean.
John Legend.
You know what I'm saying?
Legend.
Like, all things I think are lame as hell.
Yeah.
I'm a fan now.
Yeah.
Lame as hell that he's doing that. Like, you wouldn't do your family like that.
An objective Kanye West fan. Look at the lore. Okay.
Hey, and I'm still a fan because I feel like I understand him. You know what I mean? Like the Joe Rogan interview, he's like, man, you have a different type of way that you think. You don't think like other people. It's just some stream of consciousness. You're everywhere, but you kind of make it make sense. And from watching the Drink Chaps interview, I'm thinking like, yo, the dude's hurt. They hurt his feelings when they said they didn't want him rocking the red cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is his way of lashing out. And what do you know, a person that's not used to getting drunk and talking You know what I'm saying? What they going? Yeah, for 4 hours, like you going to say some things that's going to be kind of, you know,
you could tell, we could tell that. Any, you can compare to Joe Rogan. You can compare the what's my boy's name?
Seth.
What's one where he was sitting in the studio? He just randomly started crying.
Oh, I don't even know.
I saw one of the. I saw pieces of that interview. You know, our stuff floats around. Mm-hmm. This was one of the interviews where I'm like, he's comfortable. Like I saw Kanye. That was the guy from like the college dropout era, leading in the late graduate, late registration, and so forth. Like
right,
all of those. Like when I heard that. There he is, like it popped up, but I don't know, man. Like mm-hmm. what you said was very interesting. I like yours as well. I can't mm-hmm. wait to hear what you say because I might get swayed because y'all have great arguments. Go ahead, Long.
No, I mean, I think he's just lying.
That's it. That's how you gonna start it.
I mean, no, I mean, like he's fronting.
Okay,
he's. And I think I said this last week. I think he was doing that because he felt slighted. I said this last week, even though the comments that we've seen, they were like, oh, that's no. Look, he felt slighted by mm-hmm. John Legend, by Talib Kweli, by
Big Sean. I don't even know what Big Sean said.
I don't either.
I can't.
But I guarantee it was political. I guarantee it had something to do with politics.
But I don't, you know, I can't even find that. I know the stuff that. And the thing is, they still came from like. John Legend and Kweli still tried to come from a place of love and say, right. Hey, this is just, we don't agree.
This is not it. But that's where, if you watched his interview, that first part with that type of critical lens, you could see it because there's no other reason for Kanye to come at Kweli.
Right.
Like from a musical, like if you don't like Kweli's music, you're not going to do this on the Noriega podcast Dream Chaps. Yeah. You're going to just keep it to yourself because it doesn't matter like that.
Yeah, true.
And all your actions have shown the opposite.
Exactly. All of them.
Oh, let's not forget how he's just, you know, really doesn't sit good, how he went at Just Blaze. I still doesn't see.
Just Blaze thing is,
Just Blaze is 100% cap. That's 100%.
I mean, he thinks he's God. So, and maybe it's just, you know, Jay's looking at me, but I feel like he thinks that he's God. Let me paint this a little better.
Pivot now. There we go. Paint it. I got faith in my man. Let me paint this a little better.
I do think that he feels like he is a God in the sense of he feels like he's way above everybody else in his thinking. And when he tries to describe things that he is sharing, but like his ideas, he legitimately thinks that these are like the craziest, greatest ideas that nobody has ever thought of before, ever. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to it, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not with that. So that's what I mean by that. He thinks that he's bigger than he actually is.
Especially as a creative.
Not from like who people can see him as, mm-hmm. just like his inflated ego makes him, I don't know.
Does that not make him who he is?
Like, it does.
Without that, who is he? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a fair point.
He's like one of the biggest artists in the world,
which is great. Which is great. Yeah, if he's focusing on the artistry, right?
And like I said before, you know what I mean? We did the quote. I said, "Hey, great men are not usually good men."
Well,
you know what I'm saying? And
a lot of times they're terrible people. Somebody said that on the clip.
And I don't even think that he's horribly terrible. I think we have to factor in all of this, the fact that he is going through a lot right now, right?
Absolutely.
And he does have, like we all do, he has emotional issues that he's dealing with, you know? And so to break all that other stuff down, I don't know, man. Like, I said this last week too. Like, I don't want to focus on the negative stuff that Kanye does, mm-hmm. but the way he presents it sometimes is just like, you can't avoid it. And the stuff that he says is just blasphemous sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so like even bringing it back to the backpack stuff.
Yeah.
He's just lying. Like, I don't care. One, we have stories, but two, like he was a backpacker.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of if he was like hiding it secret, like
it doesn't matter.
He was a backpacker.
Tribe Called Quest. Yeah.
He did two albums with like Common. Like,
yeah.
What are we talking?
Like, he's always been a lot more Tribe Called Quest than he is Compton's Most Wanted.
The thing that the reason you got things are popping up in my head.
Shout out to MCN. I'm not trying to slander Compton's Most Wanted when I say that.
Well, things are popping up in my head in the past that are aiding me and my opinion possibly being switched. Here's one of them. Kanye has consistently always said that he was raised by a Tribe Called Quest. Openly. Q-Tip, you raised me, man. Fight Dog, y'all raised me. Y'all raised me. Y'all raised me. Native Tongues, y'all raised me. So I'm like,
we know what naturally stems from that.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't add up, and it leans more towards just 100% cap and frustration now that I think about it, based off what I've been told for so long. You can't say, Tip, you raised me. Fife, you raised me. Ali Shaheed, y'all raised me. And then say, I've been lying.
That's that backpack, though, right? That's just good hip hop, bro.
Well, that's the thing.
But see, that's subjective. Now, that's gray area. That's gray area.
I get what you're saying. But also, you know, when I think about, you know, if you listen to a lot of those, like those Kanye mixtapes, a lot of stuff we were downloading off the internet before we could get a whole Kanye album.
Yeah.
Think about
fire.
Think about all the stuff he basically, let's keep it real. He bit a lot of consequences, Flo. And, you know, if you love the gangsters and the dope dealers so much, why were you doing all these records with Consequence of all people? You know, when you talk about, first of all, let's just keep it real. At one point, all hip hop was underground hip hop, unless you were like Hammer or somebody like that, because there wasn't such a thing as hip hop radio stations like that. That's not something,
or crossover.
That's
artists.
Not even something that really existed a lot of times until the mid to late 90s. So if you heard any rap on the radio, it was a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So like that whole concept of underground and commercial hip hop, there's a gray area. And a lot of times when people bring that up, they don't know what they're talking about because they say it from the aspect of what happens today. And that it's a completely different idea of what the difference is and where it was played. Like, you know, because you would see a song that might be in the top five on the Billboard chart, and something that's only charting on the hip hop chart when you watch Yo MTV Raps.
I got a question for Jay.
So
Bridges.
you know, especially somebody who's coming from radio and records and seeing how these things have evolved, you know, over time. Like, I don't think people have a real backpacker is an outsider's term.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Jay Brookings. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Okay,
right. We had a conversation about, Boosie and his huge fan base in the city of Indianapolis, right? Yeah. We just talked about that. Like, fam is a legend in the South. He a legend here. Let's just keep it a buck. Boosie fans that are our age that didn't listen to Native Tongue, didn't listen to whatever that tree is you want to call it, De La Soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What would they call Tribe Called Quest? How would they label them?
You gotta ask one of them. Bro. I don't know what they.
How do you think they would
tell you
label
what
them?
They won't label them. I don't think they'll call them backpack.
You don't think so?
No, sir. Okay. I don't think they know what a backpack rapper is.
I mean, the
I don't really know what a backpack.
God bless them.
The true essence of a backpacker versus what it evolved to is two different things. Let's just get that out there. But what I'm saying is, music is lumped. I've heard people say Lupe is a backpack rapper. Paris Tokyo is not backpack.
You know what though?
Am I wrong? Like, I've heard people say that.
I feel like backpacker is a term.
It's that, dismissive, first of all.
It is dismissive, but it's also typically always used with people that are more lyrical.
That can actually rap?
I thought that was conscious rap, bro. But there's
another pocket.
But it's so close though.
That's
it's
what I'm
so
saying.
Close. But backpacker,
as opposed to unconscious rap.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, but that's real.
We used to call it conscious rap.
For sure.
We're not about
sure.
to do this,
but,
Jay Moore. Don't do that.
But when you think backpacker, when we just think backpacker, regardless of what type
you damn
of term
near
it
think
is,
of Kanye, bro.
You think of Kanye because of Kanye, but if you think of anything before that, most people are probably going to say maybe Quali, maybe Mose.
Okay.
Maybe regardless if they are or aren't. And then you're going to go back further from what that sound kind of stemmed from. But I think that's just what the overall, like what people think of when they think of backpacker. I think they link in quote unquote conscious rap in with that as well.
I think that's a different era. I think backpack rap is raucous. Def Jux. that era. Is
yeah, I do. Okay. I mean, okay. I do too.
Yeah, okay. But you know, okay. Coming from being a little bit older than y'all, like there are people who would classify Backrack as Illmatic, Black Moon's, the Shining. You know what I'm saying? They would talk about those albums as, you know, basically the stuff you would play when you was playing video games and smoking blunts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it would, if there were some girls out there, you'd put on something else. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah, that, but
them dudes was gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, Black Moon.
For real? Like, we, yeah. No. Now tell,
no. I see, that's the point gangsters. I'm trying to
that's
make.
That's not no backpack rapper. You know what I'm saying? We.
Because you know what's in them backpacks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I'm just saying. He right, though. He right, though.
I'm saying we thought that was a backpack. We were the backpack. So we're in the backpack area, and I'm, you know, heavy in the backpack. I'm buying all the CDs up to whatever. I'm just now listening to Nas. I didn't listen to Nas when it first came out. Right. I got to it after. But when I got to it, bro, I wasn't no gangster. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a little nerd kid, but I love hip hop. You feel me?
I think you definitely, when you said Ruckus and Def Jux, those are the definition of what I think of like the quintessential backpackers. Murs is a backpacker. Like, he'll come out and say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though he may have done his, I don't know Murs.
Shout out to Murs.
He made a tweet about it recently.
But those guys would have been proud of and wore a badge of honor about Kanye.
For sure.
To me, they would have been all about Kanye.
He was a king of back rappers.
That's what I'm saying.
He brought a specific sound. I don't even know how you define it exactly.
This is Kanye.
This is why it's so disappointing to me.
Okay.
Because at one point, I was like, somebody is out here bringing balance to the force. All right.
Yeah.
Kanye was getting dilated pupils.
Yes.
In the regular rotation.
Turn it up.
And Slum Village in a regular rotation on commercial radio. And we didn't realize, we thought he was going to bring balance to the force. We didn't realize eventually he's going to become Darth Vader.
I mean,
you live
long enough, you're going to find yourself becoming the enemy.
That's what Jay said.
You know what I'm saying? But check this out, though. Like, for me, it's a different connection.
Okay.
He was the first kind of rapper I saw where his trajectory was mimicking my own, dropping out of college. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Having
your dad and your mom in the, you know what I'm saying?
Like, very relatable.
I was like, yo.
Yeah.
And before that, you know, I'm listening to Wu-Tang. I'm listening to dudes that look at me and probably like, man, get your dirty ass out of here. You feel me? Like, this dude looked like me. He sounded like me. He was into some of the same things that I was into.
He was wearing polo. I was like, all right, yeah, that polo's, yeah.
I was like, yo, this dude is where it's
and
at.
And jerseys, like, I was right there with him. And so, like, this is the wild thing about
Kanye. Kanye was Neo. He was the one.
Yeah,
when he came out, he was Neo.
Yeah,
to me,
but you can't keep that up for.
You can't
get to the point where you have $9 billion, bro. Let me, you know what I'm saying?
Like, somewhere along the way, he had to ditch that and be like, "Yo,
no, long, well, he did this. In 2021."
Well,
look, the chat is popping. Can I? We got time to go through some of these comments. Yeah, or do you want to?
Yeah, if you want to cut the conversation short. Yeah.
Is there anything else at y'all?
I want to hear what they got to say. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm going to try to be brief because I don't want to break the flow, but they are going off in the chat. I'm going to try to pick a couple.
Drake was the biggest backpack poser. If you
see that one? While you're getting that together, you got to understand, like, for a certain amount of time, it seemed like if you wanted to be involved in hip hop, you almost had, just like you got to take prerequisites in college to take certain classes.
Yeah.
It's almost like your prerequisite had to be some sort of crime. Okay.
Yeah.
And like, everybody had their stories like, yeah, I was on the block, this, that, and the third, but I could rhyme. And here comes Kanye West is like, wait a minute. His mom is a college professor. He's somebody, like, honestly, he represented more of a realistic version of what was happening in Black America than these people who had their prerequisite into entertainment crime.
Yeah.
Then, and you know, and so like you saw him almost as it's weird considering who he is now, almost as a hip hop everyman.
Yeah.
Because if you were a kid that grew up and went to school and just like most Black people in America are not cool. I know that sounds crazy. No,
that's a clip.
No,
that's definitely
for real.
Be
because most Black people, they go to school, they send their children to school.
Okay,
they go
you
to
mean
church,
that cool?
They
okay,
go to church on
that.
Sunday.
I follow that.
You know, they're not on the block. They're not like, you know, just doing, you know, the real rah rah like that you would think. Like I said,
hold on a second, fam. I gotta get this comment
just so this makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just like I said a few weeks ago, like a lot of what we listen to on the radio and see on TV is is a fantasy. It doesn't represent actually what the reality it's of hyper. How black people live in America.
Absolutely.
You know, Kanye West was a lot closer as somebody, you know, who tried college, had parents that he knew and loved and talked about, you know, think about the song Last Call and was talking about like the things that were much more relatable
than
for me. Listen, as much as I love Jay-Z, him talking about like being on the block and I had to move these packs and I went through that, so you didn't have to go through that. I don't really, you know, talking about flipping birds. I really don't know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, so Kanye West was really more of an everyman at that time. I mean, much more than he is now because he got $9 billion.
All right, man, we got my man Poppy Amon. Poppy Amon says this dude was a backpacker. He's full of it. Streets dudes helped him, but his foundation was Souls of Mischief, Black Moon, etc. As a listener, okay.
Yeah.
The homie David said, "Ye moved on quite a bit, moved a quite a bit of waves before he got bigger." I think that was in relation to you talking about his popping or lack thereof. DJ Harvey did say, "Kanye does anything to diss someone he feels disrespected by."
Yep.
Fair assessment. Yeah. I think so.
That's what it ball boils down to.
Yeah, Nate Jeezy said pretty much.
Human nature.
Smooth
insecurity.
Smooth Hoosier said.
Yeah.
Kanye is just capping. I don't believe anything he says. I just want the music. So
who said that?
Smooth Hoosier.
Shout out.
I can dig that.
Yeah, he want to get right to the music.
That's where I would like to be with Kanye too, to be honest, because it's so hard to like.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Okay.
I'm still a fan of his music. Let's
keep it clear. I
want to
throw something else.
Everything else he said, I'm still a fan. Agreed. Especially his like his first five albums.
I mean, not lately, but
not lately.
I tell y'all when I stopped.
You gotta listen to Andre 3000 joint. It's the fine. New
one? Oh no, we listen.
We with that.
I'll listen to the new one.
Yeah.
Can I get an album of that? Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah, sure. You'll never get that again.
All right.
David said, "Ye is a pretty sensitive guy." Lyrics and Love No says definitely more personal. Yep. Let me find another one.
Ye thinks he's bigger than Jesus. See, I got somebody.
Okay, wait. Pause it.
Yes, sir.
Can I please get jump in here?
Sure.
Please. I feel like if I leave this out, like. I feel like I'm, you know, doing everybody a disservice. What do y'all think about the faith stuff?
The what? The
faith I feel stuff. Like it's real.
You know, like him
the what?
Finding faith, you know what
no,
I'm saying?
No. See, the thing is, I know a lot
of... Oh, you're going to open a can
of
worms.
Let's do this.
This is where I'm going to show some real love to Kanye West.
I think it's real.
Because I do think that it's real. And you got to understand that even though he was cursing and smoking blunts and talking about all these girls, you got to understand, God is not done with Kanye yet.
For sure.
Okay.
God ain't finished.
Yeah. And so, like, you can't expect him, like, if you ever saw the documentary about No Malice, you can't expect him to be in the same place
exactly.
as No Malice.
Agreed.
You know, because their walks are so completely different. I don't dispute at all that Kanye West is, he is basking in the light of the true and living. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to take that away from him. I do not want to say, oh, he ain't no real Christian. Who am I to say anything considering how I live?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in no place where I could sit in judgment of him, you know, but also he has to think about with his platform, what it looks like to people who've been going to a Sunday service and bought his gospel album.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about what that looks like to them.
Uh-oh.
And he has a responsibility to people because there are people who are going to be like, well, you know what? I'll just go ahead and do this anyway, because like I can still live like the world, even though I say that I follow God.
So
I think he's trying.
He's doing the best he can because he's got so much going on.
I'll keep it a buck.
Okay.
I thought I can admit this too. I thought that the faith initiative or push, if you will, I thought that was bull out the gate. I ain't gonna hold you. But I had to pull back and say some of the things that you said and then also think about his history with Jesus walks and all that. And I was like, okay, there may be some validity to it and it could be genuine. Like I pulled back from that because I was all the way on the left on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm with that. I'm not mad at that. But what bothers me is not being able to separate that from the fact that sometimes the music just isn't good. That doesn't mean I'm hating that he's on his Christian path. It doesn't mean any of that. Like some people will join the two together and it's like, oh, you just hating because he's making Christian. No, it's just not good to me.
I mean, but that's a valid argument. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's one of the things that I was like, yo, what? why is he doing this? You know what I'm saying? Until I actually heard it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I identify as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But when you talk to me about Christian rap, my first idea in my head is like, Lecrae. It's trash.
No,
Lecrae is horrible.
No, because remember I said I didn't even give Lecrae a chance.
Lecrae got heat.
But, you know, I'm thinking about DC
Don't do
talk.
That long.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, if you're going to do something like Kanye, bro, if you're going to do something, don't do that for views or clicks. You know what I'm saying? Don't mess with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people grew up in the church. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what I was afraid of.
That's not something to play with.
That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid it was going to be something, you know, just like he threw away the Louis Vuitton backpack. And then, okay, you know, he's talking about bleached.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't want those things to be, I didn't want his faith to be something that was just a trend that he picked up and then put down. And I don't think that's who he is right now.
Okay,
I do think he is genuine, and I'm like I said, you know, God is not done with him yet, just like he's not done with
Jay
you
Moore
or
got
anybody
love for
else.
Kanye. Come on now,
give it, you know, give it up. That's part
deep down in the soul.
That's why I may seem like I'm so hard on him, because love for him,
absolutely.
And I see, I feel like if he really wanted to, because I can hear the good he's trying to do in the world, but then when he flips out and starts saying certain things, you know, that's. Once again, we're not talking about what he wants to do as far as building community and building schools. We wind up talking about Big Sean and Just Blaze and John Legend and how he tap danced for Donald Trump. You know,
one more and you out of here, brother.
No, and
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You got one more.
It's all right. We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, this is a good conversation, but we got to wrap this up.
Yeah,
chat,
so
stick around for the post show. We're going
to
talk about it. Jay Briggins, we appreciate you filling in for Terry, bro. Appreciate everything that you do and what you've done. So salute to you, homie. As always, we tell y'all, search New Old Heads on Google. Find anything. Subscribe to it. Like it. Click the bell for notifications.
Yes,
etc. We are everywhere.
Please.
Follow us on anything that you
get
can
on
find
that TikTok
on.
And follow them on that TikTok.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Where they're gonna be at.
Because you're gonna see a lot of these clips today on your TikTok feed.
Mm-hmm. 100.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all stick around for the post show. We appreciate everybody that supports us as always. The ones that don't, we love y'all too. See y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.